Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He is always looking for people he can be a blessing to. He speaks to us in the heart. That's why the broadcast is called Heart to Heart. When the Lord speaks to us, when he answers your concerns, he's speaking heart to heart. And spirit to spirit, he can cause you to understand things literally without even speaking. That's why sometimes he may say something and I understand volumes. Looking back on it, that happens almost every time he speaks. Sometimes I get a word picture with it. I can see, an understanding comes to my heart from his heart. We're made in his image. A lot of times people don't hear from the Lord because they don't seek him. Now, when in St. John chapter 3, after the verses 3:16, the famous scripture that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. John went on to talk about how Jesus went on to talk about how people don't come to the light because they don't want their darkness to be exposed. Now, Christians do the same thing. Sometimes Christians, they only follow God so far. Sometimes they don't go as far. They don't venture forward in him. Sometimes people are just satisfied with what they know, what they've been taught. They know they're going to heaven. And they're not, and they don't seek to learn any the greater things of God. But every word of God is our business. Jesus said, man can't live by bread alone. If all you do is eat and breathe, and you're not growing spiritually, you're not going to thrive in this life. You're under attack. Everybody shares the same satanic attack. This is a war we're born in. We're born in a warfare world. The whole world is at war. Satan is at war with God, and God is at war with Satan. And he's the one who put enmity between his seed and the serpent's seed, Satan's seed. So we have to understand that that the Lord is mightily moving by his spirit. And we need to know him. We can't learn who he is if we don't seek him out.
Please insert your parking ticket.
It takes courage to seek God because this is an untoward world. The world system is trying to do without God. And because we lived under that system so long, we don't always embrace what God is doing. We feel like we're being put on the spot. When God calls people to the ministry, their first instinct is to run. They try to run hide. They don't want to go forward. They try to protect their will. They try to do what they're used to. And with God, you can't do that. You have to follow him. You have to go forward doing his word, seeking him out. Because he has so much to say. He has good things in store, but we have to receive what he's saying. We have to learn to obey him. God is good. He deserves our very best, not our leftovers. And we need his knowledge to live. Now, even though we need his knowledge most of all, we can ask whatever we will. You don't really have to. He didn't say you had to ask for his knowledge first. He said, but he did say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these concerns and things will be added. And he also said that if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will. But before you learn all the wonderful things of God, things you really need to know and be obedient to, if you have an emergency, you can ask. If you want to know something, you can ask. If you desire something that you need right now or even want right now, you can ask. But overall and primarily, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now I want to say something that trust God in this. Don't just trust what you've known, what you're used to. Those things stop. They have a stopping point. The knowledge of God continues. It's the way you measure it. Is the way it'll be measured. There's no limit to what you will learn if you take God at his word. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you're going to learn some things that you really need to know. A lot of times people don't follow God. I was thinking about this morning. The reason they don't follow him is because they don't know him. They're unfamiliar with him. So even people don't trust people that they don't know. If you get in an elevator, you really don't know what the person in the elevator is going to do because you don't know them. But most people in society are decent people. But I understand that if I get on the elevator, people don't know me. So they're not going to trust you just because they don't know you. And I understand that. So I try to carry myself in a loving manner, non-threatening, hospitable, so that they'll feel at ease. Now, the Lord, if we know him, then we'll obey him. We'll trust him with our choices. When he gives us something to do, we'll choose it. But until people get to know God, even me, there was no rush to jump out there and obey him and follow him. And that's just the way it is. I'm sorry. Nobody trusts God because they ought to. They trust him because they get to know him. And the only way you'll get to know him, my friend, is ask questions. Whatever's a concern to you, whatever you desire to know and understand, you owe it to your future to ask him your questions. He's got your back. He's going to take care of you. He's going to help you out. And he's going to bless you. He rejoices to do so. You don't have to worry. You don't have to wonder. He loves you. And he's gonna help you out. But you will have to trust him in order to see the greater things happen in your life. He can't take over your will and make you obey him and make you understand it. He can give you knowledge. He can download information in your heart. He can speak to you spirit to spirit. He can give you a dream and cause you to understand whatever he needs you to understand. Now, when he anoints people to do something, you have his ability to do it. But he don't go around anointing people haphazardly. He anoints mature people to do his work. Because he loves people. Once he anoints somebody to do something, they're anointed. He don't take it back. You're anointed forever. Forever, even if you go to hell. And anointed people can go to hell. You know, the first sinner was an anointed cherub. So even anointed people can choose wrong if that's what they want. But aside from all that, loving God is the key. Those that do dare to go forward, trusting the Lord, taking him at his word, seeking him out, they're going to learn things. they're going to see things from a greater plateau. Your vantage point is different when you see things spiritually. Jesus said, the way you measure, it'll be measured to you. He said, take heed how you hear. The way you measure, it'll be measured to you. Now, that's true now. If you take him at his word and measure it big, then the Lord's going to come back. He has more to work with. When he say do something, the more you see his word for what it is and do it and are faithful, the outcome's going to be better and better and better. And what happens after that, it gets easier to follow God. And you see the point. And you enjoy the knowledge of God in a greater way. Now, when the Lord returns, he's going to take those who love him, who follow him, who are not in at odds with him, who don't love the world, but do love others. See, the way we love people is tied to how we love God. It's the same. The way we love people is the way we love God. What we will do for people is what we will do for God. If we won't tell people, if we won't tell men about Jesus, then we're letting them die. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, we're not doing something about the condition. Some people, their sins of commission, they do it on purpose, and then their sins of omission, things that they just fail to do. So doing nothing can be a sin. If you're supposed to go to work and you have a job to go to and you just don't go and don't call in, don't make arrangements, and just don't show up and be irresponsible, you're letting the people down that depend on you. You're letting your boss down, and then he can't pay you, so you're letting your family down. And it dishonors God, so you're letting God down. Everything hinges on what we do. But the love of God suggests go forward. Do things that's necessary. Operate out of love. And when people do that, they have the joy of the Lord. And there are great rewards in doing the things that we're supposed to do. See, he didn't come back and spell things out. He didn't give us, Jesus never, he gave us the law of love. And he didn't teach the Ten Commandments. He taught us to love each other, and that'll take care of all 10 of those commandments and more. But lawless people won't keep the wisest 10 commandments that God gave. And remember, the 10 commandments, they were not given to the lawful, they were given to the lawless. They were given to hard-hearted people. And then God didn't tell Adam not to do this and not to do it. He said, the day you eat of that tree, you should surely die. He knew not to eat of that tree. That was willful sin. That's why he died. That's how sin got in the earth. Now, he never seen the results of sin. He would have had to trust God in order to avoid it. Now, sometimes in life, in order to avoid what you don't want, you're going to have to trust God. But if you don't know him, you can't trust him. You're not going to trust God if you don't know God. That's why people get in trouble so many times on the same problem. And they can't get it right because they won't trust God. And Satan knows how to. He's an illusionist. He knows how to make the wrong things look good and harmless. And it takes so long to be punished for doing wrong. You know, there's no change. When you go and do something, you know you're not gonna get hit but with a lightning bolt. Not in the days of grace. God's not gonna do anything. He's not gonna chase you around. He's not gonna punish you. Nothing's gonna happen. That's why people get into sin and they look around to see what's gonna happen. They feel guilty if they know they're wrong. Nothing's going to happen. You're going to have to, if you don't stop, what's going to happen is over time, you're going to start having problems. You sold something, you're going to reap it. You stole from somebody else, somebody's going to steal from you. And it takes a long time. How many parents, they used to do things and steal, and they never got caught by the police. They never got caught by the principal or the teachers. And they kept doing worse and worse. And then they find out, they end up in bad situations. And God forbid, they never get caught. And then they have children. Well, the children, they stay in trouble. They get in jail. They always have to bail their children out. Now, they know that what they did. And now they see their children doing what they did. And more of it. Because what we do in moderation, our children will do in excess. That means if you follow God a little bit, your children are going to follow Him more. And if you follow God much, your children are going to be dedicated. It'll be easy for them to be dedicated. But people who do wrong, they leave a lot of hurdles for their children to jump. Women that are promiscuous, they raise their daughters to be the same way. They always do. It never fails. Even if they get saved, their daughters have trouble in that area. I've seen it too many times. I wish I didn't see it anymore. People that lie, their children start manipulating the truth. Unless they get saved and dedicated, they don't. There's nobody to break the curse. See, sin carries a curse with it. Sin ushers in a curse to your future. Sin, it don't play fair. If you start sinning somewhere, your life gets worse somewhere. It's not God's will. That's why He's trying to help us avoid it. The things Jesus said don't do, if you can trust Him on it, don't do it. A curse comes with it. You know, I work on vehicles. I know all the different types of parts. That was a guy working on a Ford. It was a diesel truck engine. It was a 6.0 or 6.4, I forgot which one. But he tried to turn the crankshaft with everything connected. He tried to turn it by the reluctor. Now, a reluctor gives a signal to a Hall effect switch. It's like a magnetic switch to let the computer know what position the crank is in. And the computer makes calculated decisions for the whole truck to run right. Well, he broke a reluctor, and when he put it back together, it misfired. It had a bad miss, and he realized he had broken that reluctor, and there was nothing he could do about it but replace it. So he went to the parts counter and ordered another reluctor. And the partsman, he said a $450-something part on the counter. He put the reluctor on the counter, and you get a free crankshaft made with it. He didn't realize that it was part of the crank, so now he had to do about 15 hours worth of work to put that crankshaft in that motor. He had to take the engine out and take it all the way apart and put new bearings. It was a nightmare. And he had to do it free. You know, that was 2 days' work he had to do for free because he broke a part. Now, the company bought the part that he broke, but he had to pay for the labor because he worked commission. Now, when you sin, something comes with it that you don't want. Even little sins, they can create problems later that you don't want. He thought he broke a $15 reluctor, but it cost the company $400-something, and it was a free crankshaft come with it because it's all made one piece. You can't detach it. So now what we have to do is listen to the Lord. Draw near to Him. If you create problems, if your life isn't going the way you want it to, take courage. Start reading the Proverbs. Start studying the things that Jesus said. Whatever's lacking in your life, you'll have new vision for life. Now, I studied the teachings of Jesus, and I studied it, and I studied it, and I let it get in my heart. And that was the way I decided I was going to govern myself. I wanted to represent Jesus. So I listened to him, and I obeyed him, even to the point of turning the other cheek. And I didn't agree with it. I didn't understand why he had me to do that, but because he said it, I'd do it. And just doing the Sermon on the Mount, being faithful to the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, that's what I studied the most in those days. When I wanted my own business, that's how I was able to survive in my own business. In my first business, I didn't thrive. I didn't do terrible. I did good. I made about as much as a person would make on a job. That's not good for a businessman. A business person needs to make a profit. But I did make enough to pay all my bills and build me a truck and buy tools and do some of the things I really wanted to do. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't beautiful. But I did better than most expected. And I rose above because I obeyed the principles of the Sermon on the Mount. I was not a trained businessman, so people who learn business, they could do better. If they had the skills I had, they would have done better. Now, I was a great mechanic. I could fix anything. They were thrilled with my work. But what made me a good businessman is I would stand behind my work. I would do people right. I would start a job and finish it. I didn't leave people hanging. If they had the money, I'd fix the car. And sometimes when they didn't have the money, I'd finish. If I started on it, I'd finish. A good businessman would have made sure he got paid all the time. I didn't. But whatever I started on, I would finish it. Some people they seemed to need help, and I would help them. And the Lord got on me about that. I'm not supposed to go out there and take care of the world. I'm supposed to take care of my family. I did some things wrong because I love God, and God was patient with me, and he blessed me. But eventually, he was able to teach me how to do things in a better way. He works with us, folks. You're going to make mistakes, but the Lord knows how to bless you. He knows how to give you back the years that the canker worm made. When you do all that you know and it still fails, take courage. The Lord's going to bless you. You're going to be better off because you did the right thing. And people out there, they will waste your time. They will do you wrong. Forgive them and love them anyway. And I'm talking about real love, not feigned love, not fake love, true love. Love them anyway. And sometimes they'll wake up and get saved. Sometimes they'll hide in the dark anyway. But whether they come to the light or hide in the dark, love them anyway. Love everybody the same. Love them sincerely. And you're going to see the handiwork of God. He can bless you beyond your misery. But you have to know him. If you don't learn who he is and what he's doing and learn to govern your life like him, you can't learn the wonders of God. Your life will feel like a stalemate, like you're getting nowhere. And sometimes people think that that's what God desires, that God don't desire that for you. He wants you to live like him. He wants you to do what Jesus does. He wants you to see things the way they truly are. He loves us all. He loves us all. And we need to love all. I used to live on guard to forgive. I would make sure that I was always ready to forgive people that would do me wrong. And when people did me wrong, I would do right. I spoke it. When I want to do something that's contrary and hard to do, I always confess that I love God and I will do it. I love his people and I will obey him and his instruction. And it works. It's good. It works good. And then you get to know God. Now, when the Lord taught me how to love people, I learned so much more from him. Then when it was time for me to take him at his word, I could do it. When it was time to learn, I could learn. When it was time to go forward, I could go forward. I love God. And I know he loves me. I know he, and because I know he loves me, I know he loves you. When I had grace and mercy on others, it was easy for me to believe that God has the same kind of grace and mercy on me. It was easy for me to believe that God would bless me in my need if I would take him at his word. But when people are reluctant, they cut off a learning process that they really desperately need and would love to understand. I learned things that I couldn't put in words because the Lord speaks to us spirit to spirit, heart to heart. Concepts. Sometimes I just knew what to do and how to help people. And when I want to help people and be a blessing to them, I ask the Lord and seek him, and he showed me what to do. He gave me wisdom and revelation of what to do. And I thank the Lord for it. It's wonderful. God is good, folks. His mercy endures forever. He's coming soon. He's coming very soon. Soon and very soon, he's coming back. I love the Lord our God and King. He's coming back. His return is swift, imminent. He said, tell my people my return is imminent, and to be ready that they be not left. So be ready. No need to be left. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life and bless your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.